Well, I'm going to bring in Martin Henniker now. He's head of Asia Investment Advisory at St. James's Place. And Martin, as I was describing a moment ago, we're seeing a bit of selling around the region. It was another down day for most US markets. But what's really changed? Do you get a sense that maybe just reality's starting to sink in about the challenges ahead in 2023?
Well, there have been a few mixed news. Early in the week, you had got quite a lot of investor optimism or economic optimism with the jobs reports. There were also a number of other items out. But then when you dug deeper over time and had some more things coming out later on, bank CEOs warning about recession, you have had the savings rate at a 17-year low. And just a few hours ago, we saw the credit card debt, you know, up by 10.1 billion in October, which is a record high. So there are some concerning items on the economy, and it's not exactly clear what that means for the Fed. But, you know, beyond the very short-term picture, I'd say there are sort of three things that investors should watch out for. One is, you know, there's some weakening in the economies that might limit the Fed's ability to increase rates, which could be generally a positive thing. And there's not any way a direct correlation between growth and recession. Sometimes when you actually get a recession, it might be the best time for equities because they're anticipatory. You know, as long as you're globally diversified, you also capture some of the lower valued places like China that we were discussing before. But then there's also a few things I think that investors are still missing.
What?
One is the Fed is not only boxed in by relatively weak growth or weakening growth, but also by high debt levels. It's something that nobody really has been watching very carefully, the U.S. sovereign debt, except the CBO. And another factor that you have seen a bit of an easing of inflation lately. There's some numbers out, Mannheim used car index, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact that China's reopening, they have had deflation. PPI was minus 1.3% in October. That will change. Consumers are going to pick up some demand. That might bring inflation up a bit in the U.S. as well. Dollar dropping back perhaps might support inflation as well. And the rising interest that you see on the U.S. debt now could sort of fan the debt problem and make it worse. And over time, you've heard Alan Greenspan warning even before the inflation uptick. He was one of the few people who warned about that based on the U.S. deficits. And if higher rates bring up U.S. deficits and deficits foreshadow higher inflation, you know, this whole rate increases might not even work and potentially even backfire in the medium term as it affects production as well negatively.
So, Martin, in your work, and I'm going to guess here that you're looking at a lot of historical data, right? But I would say that we haven't been in a situation like this ever before, where we've got such a huge buildup on the balance sheet that the Fed is trying to unwind. They're going about that fairly methodically. Yes, they are trying to get the Fed funds rate just right so that other areas of the credit market will modulate maybe a little bit to the downside. But if push came to shove, let's say, could the Fed adjust rather than playing around with the Fed funds rate? Could the Fed just adjust the roll-off of the balance sheet a little bit to take away some of the stress that you are kind of alluding to?
Firstly, a very good point that it's quite a unique situation. Like, unlike in the 70s, 80s, now you have this huge sovereign debt limiting those, you know, Fed ability. Now, in terms of adjusting the runoff of the quantitative easing and going into quantitative tightening, if there's a wobble, you have actually seen, and not everybody's even aware of this, you have actually seen a big wobble in the Treasury market in October. You know, arguably, it's sort of a reminder of what happened in the UK. You had Janet Yellen very worried with headlines. You know, here's a Bloomberg article headline. I can't show it, obviously, but it says Yellen worried over loss of adequate liquidity in treasuries. October 13, October 24, closely monitoring and looking at enhancing the resilience of treasuries. And then the next day, they're looking at buyback, you know, some of this tinkering there. But I think when you look at the big picture, this debt challenge, and I would encourage everybody to read the CBO, Congressional Budget Office report, especially the 2021 long-term budget outlook, and they have just published an update as well on 30th of November. When you look at the charting there, it's really quite concerning. And, you know, when you consider how a lot of that was based on the much lower treasury yield, mm-hmm. you know, that's a challenge. Ultimately, medium to long term, what I believe it means for investors is that even with inflation dropping back a bit now, ultimately inflation remains a major risk to be watching out for. And that means, you know, keep holding some assets that protect against inflation for medium to long term, even if they, if exactly those have seen a lot of wobbles during the recent inflationary environment because of the fear of central bankers, you know, hiking wherever it's needed. But they may not be able to. And that's why I think inflation might become, you know, still a very big challenge and might not go away easily.
So which are the best assets to look at if you want to have an inflation hedge?
Well, I think a diversified basket of assets is always good. So typically asset classes that are inflation-proof, of course, can include property, commodities, but also equities. I think it's one asset class that's often quite misunderstood. People have been trading like the last year whenever inflation surprised on the upside. They're selling off equities because of the concern of rates and other factors. But generally speaking, principally speaking, equities are an asset class that is inflation-proof because companies that still have an edge in the market, as long as the economy is not falling off the cliff, if they have an edge in the market, they can just put on or pass on these cost increases to consumers in the form of higher prices they are charging. Now, that's not always happening in a linear way and immediately across all sectors, but generally it is. And if you then diversify across different places globally. We just talked about China. There's a lot of hope there. I think with the reopening, valuations are low. You have a country that's not tightening at all, but rather easing and supporting growth now. You know, you never want to bet just on any one thing. But if you diversify globally, have a good exposure to inflation, hedge assets, and make sure, ideally, you are not leveraged to be able to sit out any correction, I think that's a good strategy rather than chasing the daily news flow and worrying about daily market movements too much.
We chase the daily news flow. It's our business here, Martin. Thank you so much for being with us. A good conversation with Martin Hennicke. He is head of Asia Investment Advisory at St. James Place, joining us from our studios in Hong Kong here on DBA.